Hello and welcome to Prusa Live 34. Thank you all for joining us. It's been a little while and we appreciate you guys being here. I'm joined as always with Nicholas Sousa and Joseph Prusa. Howdy. I was gonna save it for later, but I don't know. That's an awful fancy hat you've got on there, Joe.
Yeah, maybe it's good to start with that.
Yeah.
Shall we?
Yeah, sure.
So we finally have some new merch.
Yeah.
We also have more Joes in case, you know, we lose one. We have a backup Joe for photo shoots.
I mean, I need to slim down a little bit.
Yeah, this one, you know.
Oh, oh my God. Stuff of nightmares.
I was going to say, it's Joe in like 10 years. Like, that's, you know.
Yeah. We wanted it smooth so that, you know, cap fits really well, but it's kind of nightmare for you.
Unfortunately, in our family, we just go white and not bald.
There you go.
So there we have three new snapbacks. One is Joey's wearing one. It's black one with an orange hexagon. Then we have basically the same design but an orange cap. Oh yeah, it has a like label on the back. It's very nice. And then I'm not sure if my favorite, but definitely the funniest one. And that's top solid layer. So
I love this.
Yeah, that's the third one, and this is how they look from the back, and they are.
I don't know that shaggy hair with the flat bill across. You look like you stepped straight out of California with that one.
Yeah, I can finally be a skater boy.
Right.
They are on our eShop right now. You are the first ones to find out that it's live.
Do we have a large enough stock?
Well, that depends on on our viewers, I guess.
I should have made sure that someone grabbed me one before they before we announced.
Oh yeah, yeah. You should. You better. We'll see. I'm sure we'll find one for you. But these are prices with VAT because I'm browsing from Europe. But they are $29.99 without VAT. And yeah, it's the first new pieces of our merch. We have more coming.
Yes.
So
stay tuned. lots of new stuff coming. Yeah, fantastic. So, all right. With that slight diversion,
I just saw in the chat and I fear this a lot. What about autographed hats?
Well, that's
oh, my hand already hurts.
That's gonna happen.
If you buy a printer with a hat.
Matt is trying really hard to go to the next segment.
Joe. Don't start.
We're making it hard for him.
Yes. All right. So, printer's picks of the week.
Yes.
What do you got, Mickey?
I have a spooky hand by JS Studio. His designs were on the stream before, but it's the Fink from Adam's family, and it's
Adam's family.
David, our maker, painted this, and he made like it's super creepy with the veins and everything, and the yellow nails. Perfect Halloween prop.
I mean, I need to borrow this and install it in the bed in the morning.
Yeah.
So my girlfriend can freak out a little bit.
Yeah.
I hope she's not watching.
I'm sure it could work. Like, it's a pretty good spook. So once again, it's by JS Studio, and I think it looks great.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a perfect freak out. What do you have, Joe?
I have something simpler.
A prettier.
Yeah, Extruded Fractal Flake by Alex Form.
Very pretty.
Yes. And, let me try this.
Yeah, the light here doesn't make it justice. Maybe from the bottom also. It looks great. Yeah, it looks fantastic.
No, but this is wonderful. Can you imagine putting like addressable LED strip doing this?
Yeah, it's a very beautiful print.
Wonderful. And it's best to print it from the translucent.
Yeah, this is opal green PLA. So
it's really great. And yeah, I think it'll be great to see, you know, what people use that print for. I think there's lots of potential interesting uses on that one. So yeah, we shall see. Okay, so it's Halloween. You've got thing there, Mickey. I am working on my own house haunts in my weekends. So one of the things that I am going to do is a floating haunted lantern. So this is the Gothic lantern from Bugman 140, yeah. Is kind of the king of the Halloween uploads to Prusa Printer.
So many designs.
So many designs. It's crazy. So this is actually one from last year of his, and it has a little hang tab there. And yeah, I just think it's a great model and will work very well in many a haunt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, when you mentioned Thingiverse, I just realized we had our last stream a month ago.
Yes.
And a lot of stuff happened.
A lot of stuff happened, yeah.
Yeah. Did I say Thingiverse instead of Prusa Printers?
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Just association.
Yeah,
I guess.
Association.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But,
we can get back to it for a tiny bit. So
yeah.
I can say what I said already on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Or should I do it now?
Let's go ahead and talk about that, because we're kind of in our new section now. So what's going on with Prusa Printers, Joe?
So after the Thingiverse hack and leak got public, I noticed a lot of people were searching for a new home for their models, and I thought that it would be fair to say at this stage, when people are deciding what are our plans, what we want to do, because we know that a lot of people associate Prusa Printers just for Prusa community, but in fact it is inclusive for everyone, and we understand that the Prusa in the name is a little bit too much for some, so we... Actually, for quite some time,
yeah.
We are talking about it for months and months.
It's been a while, yeah.
And we are searching for a new name, which would be more inclusive.
Yeah, and just more intuitive for people
yes.
to, oh, this is a site
yes,
with,
yes,
with
yes.
3D models for
yeah.
3D printing.
Yeah, originally we used Prusa Printers because we already had a well-running blog. And it seemed wasteful to just add another website. But I think it is now time to find it a new name. And also another point I was talking about, that we actually plan to accommodate people who want to sell their models, and without any bullshit like having to have a subscription
to be able to publish.
Yeah, because when I spoke with some people, they were like, "Yeah, I made this, but actually, you know."
Minus the subscription.
Three quarters of that was the subscription.
Yeah.
Minus.
Yeah. So we would like to... I think we have pretty good candidates for the name. That
yes.
We would be happy to share, but I think we better make the transition, like get everything ready before
yeah,
we do so.
I
like,
mean,
yeah.
Yeah. We have a few candidates.
We just had a suggestion for Alpaca Verse, you know, to go with the
maybe a dedicated
the farm,
alpaca
so.
Model... 3D model database.
Yeah, yeah, when we had our last team building, I saw that we were spinning the yarn onto the little, how do you call it?
Skeins.
Yeah,
skeins.
You have like the big ring, and then you put it on.
Yeah.
And next step is to make beanies.
There are 3D printable ball winders out there for winding your yarn, which are pretty nifty. They might be on other sites and not on Prusa Printers. But maybe we can fix that. Maybe we can get someone to get us a 3D printed ball winder for all of our attack and nets.
Speaking about Prusa Printers, one contest just finished and we
yes.
are ready to announce the winners. So
yes.
I guess we can...
The upgrades and accessories contest just finished. Actually, technically two contests just finished. But we only have the winners for one.
Yes.
So the accessories and upgrades contest is done. And we do have the winners to announce today. And the Halloween contest is done too, but we're going to announce those winners on Halloween.
On Halloween.
So
yeah.
on Sunday, keep an eye out for the blog post for the winners of the Halloween contest.
So,
all right.
winners of the accessories and upgrades contest. So starting with the third place, it's Lopotok 99. We talked about this model a little bit because we thought...
I love this.
It's a little bit like simpler on the design, but I don't think models should be complex in order to win, right?
Simplicity is the key.
So
this is wonderful.
It's a holder for the Stabilo Fineliners, which are wonderful pens. And yeah, this, I guess...
An OpenSCAD.
Yes, and there is an OpenSCAD file. Oh, FreeMath. No.
No, but it is made.
No, I think it's Fusion 360.
Oh, it is. Yeah, okay.
He mentions in the description that it's Fusion 360.
It just
looks like OpenSCAD with that yellow on white background.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This is like the OpenSCAD yellow.
Yeah.
Anyway, wonderful model. So, congrats on third place. You win one of the Prusaman bundles.
I totally agree, and it's one of the things I added in the blog post that like a winning design doesn't have to be an overcomplicated design. Sometimes there's simple beauty in, or there's beauty in simplicity.
Exactly.
And so it's well worth it.
And
all right, and number two.
I'm super
excited about number two.
Yeah, me too. Number two is great. So it's by Lord Zerp, and
I love the name.
Yeah, the name is
hilarious.
So the name is fantastic, but this is basically an upgrade kit for a heritage telescope that's mounted on a motorized platform that moves it. And this is complex.
So the platform for the original is just, it spins. It's manual, like, movement. And so, you know, part of the upgrades of this is he created a motorized platform. He enclosed more of it, extended some things. He really, like, took the time to take this fairly budget telescope and really do the upgrades that kind of take it to a entirely new level. And it's really great. And I really want to build one.
This is wonderful. I saw some like make it smart telescope kits, which I don't think would match to this.
Yeah.
On Kickstarter.
Right. And he has an instructables laying out the entire process for everything. So while it looks like fairly minimal documentation on Prusa Printers itself, there's a link to the instructables that has a lot more documentation on how to pull this off. So very, very impressive.
So United Radio DE, how do you like the telescope?
We have someone with this exact telescope in the chat, which I think is pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
Can we get the heritage telescope here in Czechia?
I'm sure we can get it.
He's French, I believe, and so I'm guessing that it's available in the EU.
Okay, and let's go, I guess, to our grand winner of the contest.
Our number one.
Yeah, who gets a Mark III S Plus kit. And that's SP Tim with this box / soldering station for the TS-80.
So the TS-80 is a really popular soldering iron.
Yeah.
Super compact, easy to travel around with, and this box gives you a full soldering station with all the accessories that you might want, and folds up to still be portable, but makes a nice desktop soldering station if you want to use this as not just a portable soldering iron.
Yeah, this is wonderful. Only thing I would make a little bit better, I would put chamfer on the edges of the box. If you put it into the back, so you can get it out simpler and around the corners, and then it's completely perfect.
Perfect. So an upgrade suggestion.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
Great.
I look at this, and while it's great that it's portable and you can take it around to do things, I think a lot of people will just use this as an upgrade of a way to kind of take this portable iron and make it a more desktop friendly iron.
So congrats to all our winners.
I mean, it is still wonderful, because I remember when I was starting with tinkering, you know, there was like one soldering iron available in Prague. And yeah. now for, you know, if you want to start with project, it's so much easier, and you can have this tiny, super, super handy soldering iron everywhere with
you. And that's definitely one thing about the TS-80 and the TS-100 is they're pretty feature-rich soldering irons that don't cost that much money, which is really nice. I have the TS-100.
Me too. Ha, TS-100 gang.
Yeah.
So the
TS-80, though, uses USB-C, so I do.
Yeah, but I think the TS-80 has lower wattage.
It does.
Yeah. Okay. We also have a new contest ready. So the next contest theme is quick and useful prints. The team is just, you know, print it under an hour and it qualifies for the contest. So these are usually the most popular models on I guess all sites.
Oh, key holder.
Sharing 3D models, because these are super quick to print but yet useful.
I love the fact when you see the keys that they are not actual keys, so he's not showing anyone the key.
Yes, smart.
Yeah, never show
pictures,
your keys
online.
Yeah, I think now maybe Wu has a nice video.
There were a few more kind of live keys in that I cropped out of the photo, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
I want to get back to one quick comment. Aaron York in the chat says, I would love a TS-100 tip to clean clogged nozzles. Oh my God, it would be genius. It has, you know, replaceable nozzles so that you can burn out a clock. Oh, now I need that.
Yeah, or maybe what would be, I would say, a little bit more safe, make a little furnace. You can just drop the nozzle in, close it, and it would burn it out, and you can just take it out.
Yeah, maybe.
You could probably use an, I don't know with brass, but I know, yeah. I think still with brass, you could potentially use an inductive heater, like inductive heater coil that you just like stick it in and it would, yeah, that'd be kind of neat.
So
coming 2022.
Just before we get to our guests, just one last quick bit of news. We have two new Prusament resins, and it's now actual colors, not shades of gray. So we have the grass green and bright yellow. So now we have the Untrusted Grey, Rich Black, our signature Prussia Orange, and now these two new colors. So
yeah,
I think it's fun that we're starting to get some actual pretty colors and you know. Yeah.
And we should again mention that these prices are with VAT.
Yeah, yeah. If you are browsing from the US, you will see 69, which is nice.
Yeah. I mean, the other option is for the resin to cost $420. So I think this is better.
Yeah, and we are working on way more colors, so those are coming fairly soon.
Yeah, and other types too.
Yes.
Fantastic.
So I would love to hear feedback from people if anyone already tried. They are actually selling quite well. So, you know, it's a premium resin, but I don't think it makes sense to do the race to the bottom on the price.
Right.
Instead, we are using everything verifiable, and we make it that it's not harmful.
Yes.
Right. One last piece of news. We're going to get into further details on this later on, but we know that we could talk about this for a long time, and so we want to make sure we get to our guests. Prusa Slicer 2.4 Beta 1 is out. So go out and grab it and give it a shot, and you know, maybe even play with it while you're listening to the rest of our stream, and then we can discuss it at the end of the stream.
People should actually listen to our guests.
Oh no, they absolutely should. But like, you tell me you don't multitask all the time, Joe. Like,
I hope we'll get a few minutes to play with it at the end of our show, because I have some things that I would love to show, some cool new features.
I mean, we can end at one hour, and if we don't have time, we can continue after.
Yeah, yeah.
For the ones who want.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we have some really great guests with us today. They have created a movie called Even Mice Belong in Heaven. It is a stop motion animation video, stop motion animation film, full feature length film, that has recently premiered in Europe. And hopefully we'll be coming to the U.S. soon, but we will talk to the creators now. So let's go ahead and be joined by Vladimir and Jan.
Okay, here they are.
Hello. Oh.
Bad Hi, Vladimir. Hi, Jan.
Hi, Vladimir. Hi, Jan.
Hello, everybody.
Hello. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the plot of your film?
So it's maybe up to me. Even My Belong in Heaven is a story about two mortal enemies. It's a story about a little mouse and a fox who, after an unfortunate accident, they end up in the animal heaven. And as in the animal heaven, the animals don't have any instincts anymore, and they are not hungry, so they don't hunt. When they have an opportunity to meet each other again, they try to learn a lot from each other, and they become really good friends, and they have a fantastic adventure in this world of the animal heaven, when they learn a lot about themselves, and also they have to overcome big obstacles and dark places there are, and it's their friendship that helps them to find the way through the darkest moments of their story. And in the end, they have an opportunity to come back to Earth again. And not like all the other animals, they are quite frustrated by this idea, because they think they will become a prey and predator again, and they won't be able to be friends anymore. And the biggest wishes, as the biggest wishes can come true in heaven, a wizard the mouse wishes to become a fox in her future life. But the fox has the same idea, so in the end they are reborn in the opposite roles. So that's basically the plot of the story.
Very fun. So, you know, stop motion animation has a long history. You know, they've been making stop motion animation basically as long as they've been making movies. The usage of 3D printing is relatively new. You know, for many industries, but, you know, especially in stop motion animation. Is this the first film that you guys have used stop motion animation on? Or sorry, that you've used 3D printing in creating stop motion animation?
This was our first use of 3D printing, wheel and everything from scratch during the production of this film.
How long does it take to make a film like this? I assume quite a long time.
The whole process took more than 10 years, but the real creation of the film, the shooting, was about 14 months, 293 shooting days. Wow. So we started at the end of 2018, and we finished shooting at the beginning of 2020, before the first lockdown.
Okay.
Wow, lucky you.
Good timing.
Yeah. Another 9 months to the post-production, because there's mm-hmm. a lot of digital post-production in this film.
And so you started and completely you have, from... Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Vladimir.
No, and you have to count in also some time of prep, of building of characters, building of sets, where we used the 3D printing, actually. And all this period was about 1 year before you actually go mm-hmm. ahead. And from the point you have the money, you greenlight the project, and you have about a year of prep work when you until the moment you really start working on set and shooting the film.
Okay.
Wow. What did you find were the advantages of using 3D printing versus kind of traditional modeling techniques when making a film like this?
Almost everything is the advantage. I came from the environment of 3D animation, so I was a 3D animator and 3D modeler. So for me, some things are very difficult on the physical modeling, like there's no undo, there's no rescale, there is no copy symmetry or things like that. And but work with the physical puppets is really, really very nice. And but we knew that, for example, our main characters, this is Wild Billy, the fox, we had them in 10 copies, or we had 10 mice and eight foxes. And mm-hmm. inside of these puppets is a pretty complicated armature. It's called armature. It's like human skeleton. And we knew that we need to have 8 clones of Fox, 10 clones of the mouse, but they should be really exactly the same, really precise. So we decided to try the 3D printing, and it was really very helpful because this is a model of the whole skeleton of the head, of the whole skull. In the real skull, many parts of it are made of metal joints, like these guys. And the real skeleton is this. And it's full of small holes, which should be really accurate because these holes are for metal joints. It should be really precise. And 3D printing is really cool because you can design your skeleton in 3D. You can try the position of all the joints because the abilities of the puppets are really depend on the position of the joints. So we created manacle heads, and you can operate not only the mouth and the snout, but you can also operate the eyebrows. You can operate the lips. So our puppets are really able to talk. And at the moment, we had some testing model in the computer. We told to ourselves, okay, let's try to print it out using 3D printing, and it worked really. And it's cool because you can use the 3D printing also for models of the puppets, because in the classical way of puppet creation, you use some sketches at the beginning, then someone creates a clay model of it, and the puppet makers use a clay model as a reference for creating the puppets. But half of our puppet builders was situated in Prague, and half of them was in Poland. So there was a problem how to transfer the clay models, because clay models are really fragile, and it was half of a hot summer, and the clay suffers from the heat. So we try to scan it into the computer and clean it up in the computer, or clean the shape of it, and to add some details and so on. And we sent to Poland only the data, and they printed their own reference, and we had our own reference. And as you can see, the puppet is really pretty similar to that 3D reference, so it's really helpful to have it. And at the moment you have all these characters in your computer, you can do anything you want with them. For example, we needed to have a statue of one mouse father. So at the moment you have in a computer, you just create some pose in some animating software, and you print out the statue, and it's ready just for some finishing. So there are really many, many advantages of 3D printing. And one, the big advantage is that the printer works at night, or it works 24 hours a day. So many people say that in our film there is an incredible amount of details. And one of the reasons is that we use 3D printing. Because, for example, there are many, many objects used only for one or two shots. And in a moment you use the classic way of props creation or objects creation, you really have to decide, oh, should we spend 2 days creating some, shovel for a mole, or this cap for his mouse, because it looks like a half of a nut, but it was 3D print because there's no nut so big. And at the moment you start with creating it, with carving it from wood or from something, you will spend 2 days just for this small detail. But we had a photogrammetry, so we scanned a nut, and
that's
we printed
it. That's what I really liked. I have a dedicated video from you guys that I think is wonderful that you're using photogrammetry to...
We use a photogrammetry at the start of the project. We use it for scanning the clay models and then clean them. But in the middle of the shooting, we did a photogrammetry of all the real puppets, and then we transferred them to computer, and we use them for animating the background characters, because there are crowds of background characters. Like, there are some shots with more than 100 characters in a shot. For stop motion, it's impossible to animate so many characters in one shot. So we scanned our puppets, and we cleaned them, and then we animated them again in a computer. So it started with the computer and photogrammetry, and it ended up
full circle.
The same way.
Yeah, you're going the full circle, digital to physical, and physical to digital by scanning it.
Yeah.
Did you end up with photogrammetry because it's just what you tried, or did you try other scanning techniques and you just found photogrammetry to be the best one, or was there a different reason that you used photogrammetry?
We used photogrammetry for our project before, so I don't know why. Maybe because it's a I would say that very simple and very cheap way.
Yeah.
Everyone can do photogrammetry. You don't need some special equipment. You just need a software. And at the moment, the capturing reality software is really not expensive, because they started with the licensing for monthly. Yes?
I think you can even pay for individual scans right now. Like, you buy some credits and you just pay for... If you think the scan is turning out great, and you want to export the model, you can pay just for that one scan. So I think that's pretty nice.
So it's nice. Even better. And we like...
What was the one we used in our video?
We used Meshroom, which is free. It's open source. But I have to say, reality capture is faster, quite significantly faster. Maybe even slightly better results.
Mm.
So if someone wants to upgrade from the free option of Meshroom, I think... Reality Capture is really wonderful software. Also, I believe it's Czech or Slovak, right? Or it's
Slovak. Yeah.
It's Slovak. So it's nice that it's another product from this region. So nice to support our bros in Slovakia.
And it's pretty simple. I like it very much, because I started many years ago using Agisoft, and it was pretty complicated to set up all the options. But here you have just play. If you don't want to solve it, you just press play.
Imagine what will happen next with all the neural networks and AI.
Yes.
When if they train it on, you know, hundreds of scans, and how they clean it up afterwards, maybe in 2 or 3 years you will have like...
That would be great. Yeah. Removing the blobs, filling the holes, and doing all this stuff automatically would be nice.
Because this software is really precise. This is not a good example, because the model was complicated and it was shiny. So there are many blobs on it. But in the case of the clay models, it was so clean, so precise. It was really wonderful detail.
Clay is probably one of the best materials to scan together with stone, because it's matte. It has a lot of tiny details that you can capture.
Yeah, depending on the clay, some of it can be shiny. I've had some people run into some problems with that, but you know, that's easy enough to also talc over and stuff like that to get rid of some of that. Speaking of some of the like kind of more hard-sided things, and this is a perfect example. You have some of the characters that have, you know, instead of being fuzzy characters, they have hard textures. You have the lobster, you have the crab. Were you able to actually fully 3D print the shells of those, or how did you create those characters?
It was this one was very simple, because it was a typical example of what you can do with 3D printing, because this character is in our film in two shots, or maybe in only one shot, and no one would in two shots, right? No one would do this by hand, because it's really not doesn't make sense. But in a case you have a 3D printer, and in this case of the crab, you can use some model bought from the bank. Just we did some small adjustments to adjust it to our cartoonish world, and so and the printer worked.
I was wondering about the fact that if you start using 3D printing, that you actually have so many more options who to hire to make your models, because I know so many people who are working in ZBrush, which I think the availability for new colleagues would be higher in the digital sculpting than in the, you know, analog sculpting. Is that true, or what do you think?
No, I think it depends on the person who uses it. Some people like more the analog way, but for example, in our case, the digital process is very natural for me, because I'm much better in using a computer than in using the pencil. Mm-hmm. So for us, this way was really great.
Yeah. Because
something you couldn't do in almost you couldn't do in real. For example, that there was a big crayfish, and it looks simple, but it's really complicated inside. And at the moment you can scan the skeleton which is inside and use it for cutting the CG model.
Oh yeah.
Then you print the real. Then it's really very simple, because you have parts. It's like Lego. You take it and just click, 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 and glue it together, and it looks great. And you know all the advantages and disadvantages of your construction in advance, because you can test it in the computer. So you see if there are some collisions of the objects. If there are some limits, you can adjust it and test it until the last moment. And we use a ZBrush, so also the structure was printed, so we just painted it at the end. So it's really great tool. Of course, the puppet making is about a handwork, so I don't think that everything can be solved with 3D printing, but in the case you need some detailed model for only 2-3 shots, it's great to use this way.
Yeah, I'm always saying that when people ask me if 3D printers one day will replace everything, I say no, because if you really need for the furry models and the details on the face, you need to have the final touch. But you know, it is always wonderful when when 3D printing can give you a shortcut and just be the part of the whole process.
Oh, right. It's just another tool in the arsenal. Yeah. So why did you guys choose specifically to go with Prusa 3D printers as part of your again, the tools in your arsenal?
Well, I guess the choice was we were looking around what tools can we use, and obviously being from the Czech Republic, we just got right in the time when the Prusa 3D printers starting to kind of dominate the market. So we reached out and we were able to create a partnership. But we were really lucky with the moment before, because obviously we knew that the 3D printing is being used in animation beforehand, but we believed it was on a much higher budget productions that we were, and we just really got into the moment when this brand came out, and we were able to really like afford it, and obviously became our partner of the film, and we got really great support even when we learned how to use it. So this was also very important. We didn't have to just learn it by ourselves, but we were using really great support center, and it was super helpful. So yeah, it was pretty straightforward just to reach out the company that was in the same town as we are.
Yeah. So and the discussion of like support and you know, kind of learning to use these things and everything else kind of leads into one of my last questions, which is, despite all the learning curves and everything of learning 3D printing, will you be using 3D printing in future films that you make? Do you find that the advantages will lead you in that direction?
Definitely.
Nice. That's great to hear.
Yeah. Well, that's really great, guys. Go ahead, John.
I saw a question in the chat, and I originally wanted to ask about it too. Is it possible to see the movie somewhere around the world? For example, in the States?
The film is now being distributed in the Czech Republic and some other countries in Europe, in France, for instance, and in the United Kingdom. It's been already 3 weeks in the theatrical distribution. And I believe there is a distributor in the United States, Samuel Goldwyn. I think the plan is to release the film in the US on 10th of December this year. So hopefully you'll see even Mice Belong in Heaven in cinemas in the US as well this year.
That is wonderful. Congratulations,
guys.
That's
exciting. Yeah.
Yeah. So the perfect Christmas movie to maybe take your family to if you're in the US.
And I guess you will be, you have this information on your website, so Mickey can post it, or are you updating it when it will be when? Where?
I think it will be available. This information will be on the social networks, I would say. Then the distributor will confirm the date.
Okay. Wonderful.
That's fantastic. Do any of our audience members have any other questions for the creators here? We'd love to get some more questions.
There was a question about how long this movie has been in production, which we already tackled. Maybe the viewer missed it, but you said 2 years the actual production and one extra year pre-production. And 10 years general, of just thinking about it and putting the idea together.
The general time frame of the project since the first idea until now, it's maybe 10 years. But it took us to maybe 6 years to write the script and develop and finance it, obviously. It was a very long process. But then from the green light until the end, it was about 4 years.
How long is the movie?
It's 87 minutes. It's a feature-length film.
Mm-hmm. Did they happen to use Blender with this project? Did you by any chance use Blender in your pipeline? I know you mentioned ZBrush, so probably not, I assume.
There were two different places of the post-production. One was in Prague, and we used... We use Softimage XSI, which is a dead software, which was canceled by Autodesk a few years ago, but we use it because we like it. And we use ZBrush.
they do that,
and for animating the motion builder. But the really big part of the post-production took place in France. And I know that they used, one of the studios used Blender for creating the CG doubles of our characters.
Awesome. There you go, Aaron.
So Rohit had a question, and it's actually one that I kind of have had in the back of my mind. Seeing all the models of Fox and all the models of the mouse and everything, is there any chance that we might see some of the main characters become available for users to download and print little models themselves that they can have at home?
Oh, that is a wonderful idea. Maybe one post, pretty please.
Actually, we are discussing it with the team here in Prague that we are open to this idea because it could help the marketing of the film as well. So yes, it was just
The characters are so cute.
Yeah, they are.
I think that just we have the models at the moment in quite technical poses, so we would need to kind of polish them to be more cute.
But I actually thought about this when you showed the statue of
the mice.
Mouse father.
So we have a statue of the father. And we have the crocodile head. It's a model like 1.5 meter, 120 centimeters.
Yeah, I mean, we can definitely consult with you with what we think would, you know, be the most popular and the most friendly to print, because there are some tricks how to make models print without supports, which people like. so we can have that discussion later.
It's little tricks like having the hand band so that it grows from the body, so it doesn't start in midair, and some nifty tricks that the designers kind of learn to do, and we are always amazed at what they can do without using any supports.
Like, oh yeah, it is bonkers.
What?
Let me. I see one model.
Okay.
Yeah. So while he's grabbing that, Chris Russell, Practical Printing, had I think a really great question, which is, do you have it?
This is printed without support.
It's crazy, yeah. Because all the tentacles and everything is going at the exact right angle that it just grows naturally. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah, we would love to help.
Yeah. So Chris was asking if you guys had any suggestions of where people could get started and you know what they could look into if they were interested in getting started in using 3D printing and stop motion animation.
Vladimir, do you have some advice?
Well, I think the what was important, it's I have an idea what would be the thing that will help them the most to use it, because for some things, if you're building exact originals, then you might the traditional way in the end might be easier, but on the other hand, if there is anything which is replicable and anything that can be that you need in more volume, then the 3D printing is the great thing to do. So where to start from is, I think, from just kind of thinking of your project, what would be the best approach for it, and then I would say because obviously Jan is a very skilled 3D modeler and animator, so for him it was very natural. On the other hand, I know many people that are doing stop motion animation from the handmade side of the world, and then for them to start creating a model in 3D, something very new. So I would say to find someone to add to their crew someone who's skilled in 3D modeling and kind of can share the ideas of the visual artist in and translate them into the 3D world. It would be kind of a first step to be able to print. That would be kind of an advice from my side.
Yeah. Thinking about this, there was a very, very cool project that was recently posted on Bruce Printers and kind of made its way around social, where there's a very popular 3D printing model called the 3D printing Benchy. It looks like a little boat. And someone animated a rough sea, it's every frame of the sea, and he printed all of the seas, and then he can just take the one 3D printed boat and drop it in, and then made a little animation going through the.
Niklas is finding it.
I'm not sure if I can find it, but it was crazy amount of prints. To every frame was a new print, but.
Yeah, it's only a couple seconds long. It's like 120 like prints or something like that, which I'm sure you guys are used to that kind of thing.
Okay, I'm not logged into Facebook here, but it works. So yeah, it's crazy. Crazy amount of work, but the end result is really interesting.
Oh.
Yeah.
maybe you can use this somewhere.
That's inspiring, definitely.
Yeah,
that shows, on the other hand, the stop motion animation technique is super simple, and all you need is a camera or a cell phone with a camera, and just a lot of patience and artistic devotion, and anybody can do it at home on your table, basically. So it's very straightforward, and so anybody is welcome to tackle stop motion animation, because you have all what you need at home, basically. You don't have to need anything else.
All right, guys. Well, I really appreciate you guys coming on.
Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, we'll hopefully talk soon and have some news about your release dates and possible character uploads. So, all right. We'll see you guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
See ya.
Thank you.
Bye.
There is a link for the movie in the video description if any one of our viewers wants to check it out.
Oh, that was so cool.
Wonderful. Yeah, we also have a Prusa story on this topic, so you can go watch this after the show, which kind of compiles the information.
It's like a six-minute video, gets you like a lot more of the background stuff. It's really great.
One of the nicest like creative uses of our printers.
Yeah,
we've seen.
Yeah. But I would say it's like the story and how well it's made. It's like, you know, if it was done by Pixar, just stop motion.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Hard.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay. So let's quickly jump into our Prusa Live contest winners so that we get through that before we move on. So while Mickey's pulling those up, reminder that every show we pick three winners that we will send some filament to. If you guys submit your prints on Twitter with the hashtag #PrusaLive, it's the only way to enter, and we don't talk about this contest anywhere else but on this show.
Exactly.
So it's just for you guys. So who do we have in third place this time, Mickey?
On our third place, we have a regular member of our contest. It's Rageza with another one of his wonderful mosaics.
Wow.
I would love to give him first place every time, but I think that would be kind of, not fair to everyone else who competes. But
this one is so hard for me because I'm I think Wind Waker is my favorite game like ever. I loved Wind Waker. I loved the look of it, the gameplay, everything. And you know, this is so good. And you know, Ray won a couple shows back for another one of these stained glass pieces. And so it's kind of like, well, we can't award every one of his stained glass pieces, but man, this one's just hard not to put on the list.
Just looks it's amazing. So and there is a suggestion to if we could somehow do more, like add more color changes in Prusa Slicer per layer. I mean, there is the bottom slider, so maybe one day, but yeah, we are noting the feature request, but
there are definitely more
pressing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so we are
moving. Number two we have.
And number two, it's a Rope Shepherd, and there's a printed spooky ghost, which I love how smooth, like it's like a simple but yet complex shape. It looks great.
And, yeah, I need to print this one.
I know, I love it. And this is another one of those that like the lighting and the shots really make it, right? Like it's such a fun, smooth little model, but the way he lit it up with the different colors in there really kind of sets it aside.
Roby a ghost. Yeah, awesome work, Roby Shepherd. So that's our number two. And moving
and
on.
And the winner.
The winner.
Can we get a drum roll there, Joe? Yeah, there we go.
The winner is so good.
So good. It is. It's just amazing.
It is so good. So it's Barry's Web, Zelly the Witch.
This is next level.
Yeah.
Next level.
It doesn't look printed, basically.
Yeah, if I would see just this picture. Yeah. Maybe the hat on the first side would give it away because of the sparkly filament, and you don't usually see this. But, oh boy.
Cute black cat, which is kitty. It's so good.
95 hours print time.
Wow. That is crazy.
Sir, you like it? He's adventurous.
Oh yeah. He's a brave one.
Yeah. And again, Barry's another user we see a lot in the competition, and it's great to see the things that he's making. And
if I understand the tweet correctly, he colored it in Prusa Slicer? I assume so, because I've been wanting to print this in color for a year now. Prusa Slicer 2.4 made it possible.
I mean, can you imagine doing that with anything else?
Yeah, I mean, doing it manually like would be, it would take about the same amount of time to color it as to print it. Like,
yeah.
Another 95 hours of manual labor to do that.
Right.
That looks great.
It is really great.
So congratulations on the first place. It's well deserved.
Yes. Fantastic. All right. So let's loop back around to Prusa Slicer 2.4 Beta 1.
And... Okay. Oh. Do we have a few minutes? Nice. Wow. Nice, nice.
Yeah,
nice.
We've got about six minutes left.
Our show is so packed. We didn't even talk about that. We won 3D printing company of the year by 3D printing industry.
That's right.
Yes. And the Mark III is.
S Plus
is once again the 3D printer of the year.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone who voted for us. It means the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now you can show them.
I mean, we didn't even talk about the AFS because that happened after the last stream. By the way, there's so much happened since last stream. But
this is what happens when we only go down to one a month.
But honestly, I kind of like it that we have so much to talk about that it barely fits in the episode. It's actually quite nice. Anyway, Prusa Slicer 2.4. This is beta one, so we are moving from alphas to more stable releases. So. Mostly it's bug fixes, but not only bug fixes.
I don't think you asked.
Am I not streaming? Okay, good. So far I haven't really shown anything, so that's fine. The paint on supports tool. We added the smart painting features to the MMU painting, but now some of them are enabled for the support painting. And it does some really kind of crazy things. So you can enable smart fill. And then you can basically set an angle threshold and you can paint support enforcers with just one click and it will paint the area that needs support.
So, me likey
too. Another thing, if I turn this back to brush, I can turn on the highlighting of overhangs, basically. So this is nice that when you're painting, you can see the overhangs. But then you can enable painting on the overhangs only. And so what this does is now if I paint, I can just be kind of, you know, not really that precise, and I can pick the overhangs that I want to support. And the painting...
I think this should be default.
Maybe, yeah. But yeah, maybe this could load the angle that the printer has set as the default overhang angle and just visualize it. And yeah, good idea. But yeah, that's so useful. So you can very easily paint only on the overhanging faces.
We will also need starting to look like a control panel of a spacecraft.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, it's getting kind of complicated, but the things that it lets you do are so good. Yeah, there are way more things that have been added in this release. If you go to our GitHub, you can read it all. One of the things is sending system information. So the first time you launch it, it will ask you if you want to send. It's basically just how much memory, what processor you have. You can actually see all the information that we will get from you, or you can decline completely. It's up to you. It's just so we know what machines to support, pretty much, because yeah, it's kind of hard to suggest if someone is still using some very outdated systems, but maybe some of you are.
Yeah.
So just kind of helps our team to know the minimum platform that we still need to support.
I also believe we have a new release of mini firmware.
Yes, we did. That's
so much stuff.
Yes. So that's in the firmware body branch or repository. And that's the, we talked about some of the alphas and the release candidates, but yeah, basically the big thing is support for custom extruders. So you can set some settings for them and the statistics, nozzle pressure improved, translations, print timer fixed. Yes, many fixes and some new cool features. So if you are waiting for a final release,
yes,
you didn't trust the betas and the release candidates, this is now... checked marked by our testing that it is completely bulletproof, so you can go ahead and use that.
Out there and available. Oh. All right.
Betas should not add new features. Balu, do you want so we don't add any new features?
I guess we will just remove them then.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah, it is like that. We try to stabilize in beta and release candidates mainly, but if it often it's features that were already like yeah. half implemented in a separate branch, and now a dev finished it. Yeah. So they wanted to still get it in this release, so they just merge it, even though it's beta, because why not? Why wait, you know, in months for next release?
For another, yeah.
Okay, I guess we can
probably have time for a question.
We can do like a few, like even though we're gonna go slightly over our time.
Yeah.
So what about the MMU?
3DP Mamish is saying Prusa XL now. So since he's demanding it,
Friday.
We'll go ahead and release it Friday.
Okay. Yeah, if you say so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fine. Any progress on Wi-Fi for Prusa Mini? Yes. But still not finished, but progress, yes. Any news about the XL? We just said, like, okay, if you say so, we're gonna release it on Friday. So that's that. Not sure which Friday.
Lasso? Lasso tool for the supports? How you propose?
Lasso? I mean, I guess you would just create, like, a bounding, like a shape for, and it will.
I'm not sure if it would work well for 3D meshes.
I mean, you already have the freeform brush, just the default brush, which I guess is about as accurate as a lasso would be. So
right.
That's kind of that. What was the new Prusa merch? So Joe is wearing one piece. Here's another one, and our backup Joe is wearing the other hat. So we have three new snapback caps, and we are working on some more merch that will come in the future.
Anonymous asked about Dubai show. Do we have any pictures of the AFS that
yes,
we can just show real
we,
quick?
Yes, we have a whole website.
Yes, so...
Yes, we do have a whole website.
If you want to get the, you know, short, but not really that short, story, but that sums it all up. Go to our blog, and we have the whole article about.
Yeah, and we should have video too. What is taking you so long, guys?
Yeah, it's just so cool that, you know, we have to get all the angles and everything. And
I'm starting to get anxious.
The picking of the prints. It's just look at Mr. Handsome here. It looks so cool with the LEDs. I just. Really dig
it.
Yeah,
I think we need more RGB on our printers.
Yeah. Yes. So
Linus from LTT will approve.
He will approve. It will print faster with RGB. It's obvious, right? So if you want to read more about the AFS, the automatic farm system, go to our blog and look for that. It's like the third or fifth article from the top.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean one of the with our recent upgrades and accessories contest, you know, one of the things that people keep adding to our printers is more lighting, more RGBs, more ways to mount them on. So the community definitely says more LEDs. So that's
new
for sure.
Prusas have integrated LEDs too. We like LEDs.
Yeah.
Right? We like LEDs.
All right. let's take one more.
I saw a question about the Mark III firmwares and MMU firmwares. So we are pretty kept out with memory on the Mark III, but they are still from time to time able to optimize a couple of bytes or kilobytes. And the new MMU firmware rewrite is going quite well. So this will be one of the biggest features still coming to the Mark III.
I think it's even though it's a firmware update, it kind of drastically changes how it works,
yes,
right?
Yes, the user, quality of life is greatly improved.
So
messages from your MMU, not just flashing lights from your MMU.
For example,
that is like
you don't like light signals.
I'm getting mixed signals, you know. We like LEDs, too much LEDs, you know.
What I'm saying.
yeah, exactly.
It's SOS, in case you're wondering.
Right. All right, everybody. That is going to be our show. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Thank you for joining us. We will see you at the end of November.
Sorry, I'm not in studio mode in OBS. My bad. But yeah, okay. Looking forward to see you in the next one. Hopefully it's going to be just as packed episode as this one. It's getting really hard to
fit everything. I think it might.
It might?
Yeah, that end of November. Yeah, there might be. Yeah, okay. We will leave you with don't miss the November episode because it's probably going to be great. So thank you all for tuning in. We appreciate you guys spending your time with us. Stay safe, keep printing, and we will see you in a month.
Thanks, guys.
Bye. See ya.